Star Productions present John Wayne in Rainbow Valley, with narrative description by Audiovision Canada. Directed by R.N. Bradbury. A Paul Malvern production. Story by Lindsley Parsons. Photography by William Heyer. Technical director E.R. Hickson. Edited by Carl Pearson. Recorded by Dave Stoner. Cast: John Wayne, Lucille Brown, George Hayes, Leroy Mason, Lloyd Ingram, Buffalo Bill Jr., Frank Ball, Burt Dillard. A tall cowboy walks out of a changing room adjusting his clothes.
I guess this outfit's all right.
Oh, that looks fine.
Well, now, how about some guns?
Guns? Got some 45s here you might like.
The storekeeper lays a pair of revolvers on the counter, and the cowboy examines one of them.
How about this one?
Oh, this fancy one. That might suit you.
The cowboy twirls the gun around his finger.
Yeah, that one's all right. Were you able to get that horse I picked up?
Oh, yes, I got him all right. Fellow didn't like to park with him, but I finally talked him into it. He's tied right out there in front.
Fine. How much do I owe you?
The storekeeper picks up his pencil and adds up the bill.
$210 all told.
Well, that's fair enough.
The cowboy peels several bills off his bankroll.
$210.
Right.
Can you tell me how far it is to Rainbow Valley?
Yeah, it's about 60 miles, right over the range. Ain't any road there, nothing but a trail. You ride straight out of town, take the North Fork, and you can't miss it.
The North Fork, eh?
Yeah.
Fine, thank you.
Later, the cowboy rides along the Rainbow Valley Trail. The cowboy reins in his horse. Ahead of him, he sees a man on foot carrying a bucket in one hand. The man wanders beside the trail, examining the ground as if he's looking for something. Curious, the cowboy rides over to him.
What's the trouble, old-timer?
Ain't got any water, have you, young feller? Nellie's just over the rise. She's about done for. Plumb tuckered out. Needs water powerful bad.
Sure, get on.
The old-timer sets the bucket down. When the cowboy takes his foot out of a stirrup, the old-timer swings up behind the saddle. They ride double on their way to Nellie. On the other side of the rise, the old-timer dismounts. Taking the cowboy's canteen, he walks it over to an automobile with steam rising from its radiator.
Is that Nellie?
Yep, that's Nellie.
It's an automobile, isn't it?
Yes, sirree, Bob. Ain't another one like it in the whole county.
You mean the whole world?
She's a mighty faithful old gal, son. I carry the mail and the gold from the mines in her. See, after Nellie come to this valley, there was a cloud burst and washed out the road. We ain't been able to get new road put in. They bring in her oil and gas and spare parts for factories.
I see. Well, I guess you might as well empty the canteen.
All right. You can get it filled up again in Rainbow. It's only 8 miles.
Thanks. That's where I'm heading for.
The old-timer returns the cowboy's canteen.
Just keep on this trail, you can't miss it.
The cowboy watches the old-timer crank Nellie to life. Then climb aboard and get behind the wheel. Releasing the brake, the old-timer sets off. The cowboy follows Nellie at a distance. Up ahead, four mounted men wait beside the trail.
Hear him coming, boys. Stand ready.
As Nellie passes, the gang rides out after her. The old-timer proceeds on his way, unaware that he's being chased. Back along the trail, the cowboy hears the shots. The cowboy puts the spurs to his horse. The old-timer ducks as the gang fires through the cloud of dust kicked up by Nellie. The cowboy gallops up behind the gang, gaining ground. Cowboy catches up to the gang. He knocks the last man off his horse. Catching up to the next man, the cowboy twirls his lariat over his head and lassos the man out of his saddle. The cowboy launches himself at the next man, taking him to the ground. They square off, and the cowboy knocks the man out with one punch. The remaining bandit fires. The old-timer clutches his head and slumps over the steering wheel. The bandit fires again. The cowboy shoots at the bandit, who returns the shot, then flees into the woods. The cowboy springs into his saddle and rides after Nellie. With the old-timer wounded, Nellie meanders across the trail. Crouching on his saddle, the cowboy leaps into Nellie's back seat and brings her to a halt before she drives into the trees. Then he sets the parking brake and climbs into the front seat.
Easy there, old timer.
Oh, it's all right. Just a crease. You sure done a good job on that gang.
Looked to me like Nellie had the situation pretty well in hand. What were they after?
I don't know. Lester was a male. First time they ever attacked me. They sure raised old Ned with the miners.
What's the matter with the law?
Well, they ain't none to speak of. Marshal's at the county seat about 60 miles over the range. We ain't got no road. Just a trail.
Why don't they build a road?
Tried that too, son. Gang keeps running off the workers. Townsfolks are getting up a petition to bring law and order in here.
Well, I guess that'll fix you up until we can get into a doctor.
Much obliged, boy. You better get your horse on the back and ride in with me.
All right, I'll do that.
Later, the old-timer drives Nellie down the main street of Rainbow Valley. He drives past the saloon and pulls up in front of the doctor's office.
How's your doctor fix me up? Meantime, make yourself to home down the post office.
All right, old-timer, I'll do that.
The cowboy helps the old-timer out of the car, and they head for the doctor's office. Across the street, the cowboy spots a crowd and walks over to investigate.
Men? It's time we took some definite action to get rid of this menace. We've got to get some law and order into this valley. We can't do a thing with the marshal on the other side of the mountain. This mob has hampered us in every way. They've driven off our workmen, robbed our pack trains, murdered our fellow citizens. Men, we've got to act.
The cowboy looks the crowd over.
I know we are lacking in leadership. We need a fighter to take command of our road work. And we need protection for our workers.
Smirking, a slick-looking man walks away from the crowd.
We are prepared to petition, asking the governor of this state to send us the laws so we can wipe out these renegades. And we want the signature of every resident of the valley before it goes to the governor. Boys, let's have your name.
Glancing back at the crowd, the slick man chuckles to himself as he enters the post office. The cowboy walks into the post office, where he finds the slick man leaning on the counter.
Well, I'll tell you, Miss Elmer, you're taking an awful chance with government property to let that old fossil carry the mails. Might will come in here any day with a story about being held up and robbed.
Like as not, he will. It might interest you to know that the bandits were driven off.
What do you mean?
I don't think it's necessary to explain to you. I'd like to see the postmaster.
I'm the postmistress. You mean to tell me that George was held up?
A third man walks in.
Hey, boss, I gotta see you right away.
All right, I'll be right over.
Who was that man?
That's his business, stranger.
Thanks.
The cowboy walks out after the man.
Just a minute. I think we've got a little unfinished business. I'd like to know just where you were this afternoon. Yeah? You'll have to find out some things that you wouldn't want to know.
The man swings at the cowboy. As the cowboy punches back, the boss steps out and reaches for his gun, but Eleanor joins him, and he leaves his gun alone. As the cowboy hits the man again, the townsfolk watch the fight. The man who addressed the crowd smiles with approval. As the fight turns in the cowboy's favor, the townsfolk gather around. Walking out of the doctor's office, the old-timer spots the fight. He hurries over as the cowboy's last punch knocks his opponent down.
What's the matter, son?
This is one of the bandits that tried to hold you up today.
You're crazy. This fellow's been with me all day. You've got the wrong man.
Not for my money, I haven't. Can you identify him, old-timer?
Well, they was behind me all the time, and I didn't get a good look at him.
Well, in that case, I guess we'll have to let him go. But I still think he's the man.
Say, that fella's a fighter. That's what we need around here. He just drove in with George. I'll go and have a talk with him. Here, get the rest of these names, will you? All right, buddy. Time to move.
Back inside the post office.
Oh, Miss Elmer. I want you to meet John Martin. He's going to live with me for a while.
Thanks, Uncle George. I think I've seen about enough of your friend, Mr. Martin. After what he did in Mr. Rogerson's fight, I'm surprised he hasn't knocked you unconscious.
What do you think of that? He's fallen for you already.
Yeah. You're just crazy about me.
Hello, George.
Hi, fellow.
I just watched the way your friend here handled that situation in the street. You're a fighter, and that's one thing we need in this community.
I'll say he's a fighter. You ought to see what he done to that gang when they tried to waylay me today. John, Powell runs the general store. He's kind of head of things around here. This is John Martin.
I'd like to have you take charge of our road crew, Martin.
Thanks, Mr. Powell. That sounds mighty interesting. I think I'll take you up on that.
Fine. I'm glad you will. You will be doing a great service for the whole valley.
At the saloon.
What a fine bunch of sheep herders you turned out to be. Let an old man get away from you.
Oh, we'd have got him all right. Only this new guy comes up from behind and puts one over on us. Besides, what do you want hail for? I thought you got that girl her post office job.
Well, I did. I didn't know she was going to put old Hale in there, and we've got to get him out so we can put our own man in. The only way we can stop that road and get Butch out of the pen.
How do you figure?
Well, we need that petition to get Butch out. At the same time, we'll keep the law out of this valley. Get it?
Yeah, I see.
Later, John and Powell walk the roadside.
This is where the road used to run before a cloudburst washed most of it away and a landslide covered up the rest.
We've sent out crews from time to time in an effort to clean it out. But so far, every attempt has been blocked by this gang.
Oh, I see what they're trying to do. They figure that if they can keep that road from going through, they can get the miners to discourage, they'll sell out at the gang's own price.
That's it exactly. We thought we had him licked a short while back when we captured Butch Gault on one of their raids and sent him to prison. We figured that without Butch, they wouldn't get very far. But there still seems to be a pretty definite scheme of organization behind them. I know you probably think that we are taking an awful chance kicking an outsider like yourself. But I'm a prick reader of character. I feel sure that you are on the level. Furthermore, from what George tells me, and from what I saw myself, I think you're the one man who won't be intimidated by this gang.
Thanks a lot for your confidence, Mr. Powell. I think I'm going to like this job. I took engineering at school. What are your plans?
This is the original survey. The road started here, continued on up the canyon, across the pass. The first mile up the canyon should be pretty smooth sailing.
Well, I don't see where we'll have any trouble as long as you can give me enough men. The only thing we'll have to watch out for is to see that the gang doesn't catch us napping.
Well, that part of it is up to you, Martin. I'll see that you get the men and the powder. Well, when can you get underway?
I'm ready now.
All right, then. We'll start tomorrow.
The next day, as the road crew wields its picks and shovels, George arrives on the rim of the canyon in Nellie.
Hey, John, come on up here.
One of the men up top throws a rope down to John. John uses the rope to steady himself as he climbs up the canyon wall.
Son?
Oh, great. We're moving right along. I posted lookouts, so we'll be ready for that gang.
Say, how long did P-4 take Nellie out and show her some others the same breed?
Oh, about 60 to 90 days, I guess. We don't run into too much grief.
Well, I got all them dynamite the miners can spare.
Nearby, one of Roger's men gallops across the range and meets up with two others.
Roger says for us to wait till the men attack. Then ride around on the other side of the canyon and start shooting from the rear.
One of John's lookouts spots the gang riding into the canyon. As the gang dismounts and spreads out on foot, the lookout fires a warning shot.
That's a signal to get under cover. They're coming from both sides. Get that tin can out of here before it blows us all up.
They're making their attack now.
The trio of gang members rides off to join the attack. As John climbs back down into the canyon, George cranks Nellie to life.
Get ready, boys. Here they come.
The road crew drops its tools and runs. George drives Nellie away from the rim of the canyon. In the canyon, the road crew picks up weapons and prepares to meet the attack. As the crew takes cover, the gang creeps along the canyon and opens fire. John fires back from behind a tree stump, and his crew backs him up. Roger's three men intercept George on the trail. He grabs a stick of dynamite from the box on the front seat and throws it at them. The trio wheels their horses around, and George chases after them. While the battle in the canyon rages on, George chases the trio across the range, lobbing sticks of dynamite at them. The dynamite blows one man out of his saddle. Frightened by a near miss, one of the horses rears up, throwing its rider to the ground. Meanwhile, the gun battle rages on. John waves his men forward and leads a charge against the gang. Outgunned, the gang turns and runs. John and the crew chase them along the canyon floor. Meanwhile, George continues to chase down the last man in the trio. The man spurs his horse between two trees and into the woods. George steps on the brake, reaches for a stick of dynamite, and lobs it after the rider, blowing him out of his saddle and down into the canyon. George backs Nellie up, turns her around, and returns to the construction site. Spotting the gang on the canyon floor below him, George heaves a stick of dynamite at them, knocking several men down. They scramble to their feet and run on. As the retreating gang members rush to mount their horses, George picks up another stick of dynamite and lobs it into the canyon, scattering the gang as it flees. Arriving to find the gang in full flight, John and the crew cheer George. Up on the canyon rim, George raises his hands over his head like a victorious boxer. Later, John walks into the post office.
George here yet?
Why, no. I haven't seen him since he went out to the road.
You mind if I wait for him?
I'd be glad to have you. Oh, that is, it's perfectly all right. This is a public building.
Thanks.
I want to apologize, Mr. Martin, for the way I've been acting towards you. I've heard about the wonderful work you've been doing on the road and how you drove those riders off today.
Now you've got me all flustered. It's worse now than when you weren't speaking to me.
Well, if you'd rather I wouldn't speak to you, it's all right with me.
Oh, no, I mean, you've got me all wrong. I mean that, well, I kind of liked you when you were mad at me.
And you don't like me now?
No, I like you more.
And I like you better when you're more bashful and not so boastful.
Well, I didn't mean to be so pugnacious the other day, but that friend of Rogers really was one of the bandits who was trying to get George.
I'm sure you're mistaken. Mr. Rogers said that Spike was with him all day. And Mr. Rogers is one of the finest men in this town. He got me my job here.
Oh, I see. So that's why you're sticking up for him.
And even if it had, I don't see that it's any of your business.
As she turns away, George walks in.
Well, sure is great to get someplace where it's nice and peaceful again.
Yeah.
John and George gaze after the departed Eleanor.
Yeah?
Meanwhile, over at the saloon.
I'm telling you, boss, we gotta get rid of Martin or he's gonna put that road through.
Time enough to take care of him when Butch gets out. First thing to do is to get him out. Petition all signed will be turned in at the post office tomorrow. I'll get it if you fellas keep Hale out of the way. The girl tells me that he's meeting the pack train in the morning. Get him, take him to the ranch and hold him there until I get the petition.
The next day, on the trail.
Finally, here's a lady. She sings to me all day. She purrs and purrs and purrs and purrs and drives my cares away. Oh, the day. Oh, the day.
Up ahead, Roger's men are hidden in the trees. As George brings Nellie to a halt, the pack train arrives for their rendezvous.
Gas for Nellie.
That's good. I was just about out.
While George and the teamster transfer the pack horse's loads to Nellie, Roger's men sneak out of the trees, their guns drawn.
Hit for the sky, both of you.
George and the teamster raise their hands. One man creeps up behind the teamster and knocks him out with his gun.
Get in there, you. Saw that thing where I said.
At gunpoint, George climbs into Nellie and the bandits pile in with him. As Nelly moves off, the teamster comes to. He climbs into his saddle and rides away. Reaching the construction site, the teamster rides up to the crew and dismounts.
They got George at the foot of the trail. You better go get him.
John takes the teamster's horse and sets off to rescue George. John reins in at the site of the rendezvous and reads the tire tracks on the ground. Then he follows them. Later, John pulls up at the gate of Rogers Ranch. Hiding his horse in the trees, he crouches behind the hog pens and watches a couple of Rogers' men walk past the barn. John runs across the yard, pausing by a feed rack to see if the way is clear. Then he jogs over to the barn. John tries one of the barn doors, but finds it locked. Finding the window above the main doors open, he climbs through it and drops down into Nellie's back seat. George lies on the floor, bound and gagged, and John jumps down to free him. Untying George, John sits him up and removes his gag.
How in the world did you ever find me?
It was a cinch. They forgot this is the only car in the valley. I just followed the deck. Now, come on, we can get out this back window.
Leave Nellie in the mail?
Certainly.
Well, I can't do that. I got to get them out, too.
Oh, all right. I'll see if the coast is clear.
Outside, two of the bandits hear the noise from inside the barn and peer through the cracks between the boards. Then they creep along the side of the barn. John drops back out the window into the yard. At the corner of the barn, he and the bandits spot each other. John runs back to the window and climbs back up.
Timer, put it right through the door.
Nellie bursts through the barn door, and the two bandits open fire on her. As John fires back, two more men run out of a bunkhouse and shoot at him. John shoots one man's hat off, and he and his buddy run back inside. In town, Rogers strides along the sidewalk and enters the post office.
Through for the day, Miss Eleanor?
Yes, just closing.
I wonder if you could let me have some stamps.
Certainly.
About a dollar in twos?
As Eleanor leaves the wicket to join Rogers, he places his wallet on the counter. Then he follows her to the door. Outside, Eleanor locks the door. Then Rogers takes her arm and ushers her along the sidewalk. Rogers pats his pockets, then stops.
I believe I left my wallet on the counter back in the post office. May I have the key?
Why, certainly.
Thanks. I'll be right back.
Rogers lets himself in. Behind the counter, he searches through the mail for the townsfolk's petition. Finding it, he tucks it into his jacket pocket. Then he recovers his wallet and leaves, carrying it prominently in his hand.
there, all right. Thanks very much.
Rogers returns Eleanor's keys, and they walk on. Later, in the saloon.
Now that we got that position, how do we use it?
Like this. See that?
Rogers hands a page to Spike. The first page of the petition reads, "To His Excellency Clayton I. Ward, Governor, we, the undersigned residents and citizens of Rainbow Valley, do hereby petition to His Excellency, Governor Clayton I. Ward, to send a detail of special deputies to Rainbow Valley in order to afford the undersigned citizens and residents relief from the depredations of a marauding gang of criminals who are terrorizing the valley and retarding the progress of a road which the citizens of the valley are constructing to connect the town of Rainbow with the county seat." Citizen signatures appear below the text of the petition.
One thing. Substitute this.
The substitute page reads, "We, the undersigned citizens of Rainbow Valley, believing the recent conviction of our fellow citizen, Austin Butch Galt, to be in error, and believing him to be not guilty of the crime for which he was convicted, do hereby petition to His Excellency, Governor Clayton I. Ward, to exercise his executive clemency in granting a pardon to the aforesaid Austin Butch Galt." Once again, citizen signatures appear below the text.
I get it. You've got everybody in the valley on there. The governor can't do nothing to Spring Bush. When do we leave?
Right now.
Later, as he rides along the trail, John encounters George and Nellie.
I've been looking for you. Where's the dynamite?
You ain't got no more.
How about the miners?
They ain't got none another. Gang stole all the dynamite in the valley.
Oh, we're finished until we can get enough to clear the pass.
Yeah. Hey, son. It's been 2 weeks since they sent that petition out. I wonder why we ain't heard no word from it.
I don't know. It sounds mighty funny. Well, you go on and tell the men to call it off until the next pack train of dynamite.
All right. I'll see you in town.
All right.
In the saloon, Rogers' gang sits idle, reading the newspaper and smoking. Rogers walks in.
Hi, boys. Got a little surprise for you.
Another man follows.
Well, hi, boy.
Oh, boss. Looks good to see you.
Hi, what?
Time you're getting back, boss. Sit down, chief.
Sure feels good to get out of that joint. Nice work. You sure did a swell job on that petition.
You should have heard the warden when he got that pardon. Well, how's things going? Miners about ready to sell out?
Well, to be frank, Chief, things ain't so good.
What's the matter? Ain't getting that road through, are they?
They're doing pretty well at it.
What do you mean?
Some smart guy drifted in here and took over the road job. Since then, we ain't been able to stop him.
Who is he?
Calls himself John Martin.
John Martin, hey? Why, me and him was cellmates up at the big house. Why, John and I are pals. I'll handle him. Get him up here.
Sure. So he's an ex-convict, eh? I'll get him.
Lighting a cigarette, Rogers leaves the saloon. He enters the post office.
John Martin ain't around, is he?
No, he's not.
Expect him?
Not exactly. He doesn't come around here much.
Well, it's just as well. That guy's an ex-convict. Fell out this whole valley if he had a chance.
He wouldn't do that.
Oh, wouldn't he? Hey, what's the matter with you? Falling for him?
No.
I thought you had more sense than that.
Rogers walks out, leaving Eleanor very concerned. Outside, he spots John as he rides along Main Street.
Hey, Martin!
Powell walks out of his store in time to see Rogers approaching John.
I want to see you.
I had a hunch you would sooner or later.
Yeah, well, it's not what you think. Your old pal, Butch Galt's in town. He wants to see you.
Well, I'd like to see Butch, too.
As Nellie pulls up in front of the post office, several miners climb down off the car, thanking George for the ride.
All right, boys. Okay.
Picking the mail out of the back seat, George spots John and Rogers together. George watches them as they walk over to the saloon. Powell also watches, concerned. George scratches his head thoughtfully, then carries the mailbag into the post office.
Howdy, Miss Elner.
Hello, Uncle George.
Powell walks in.
George, Butch Gall is out of prison. I thought he was up to 6 years.
Butch Gall, eh?
Yes, and I just saw Rogers and Martin with their heads together down at his place. You know, Rogers and Galt were pretty thick before Galt was sent out. I don't like the looks of it.
It looks bad, all right, but somehow or other I got a lot of confidence in young Martin.
Mr. Rogers just told me that John was an ex-convict.
I don't believe it. Anyhow, let's wait a while. Maybe he'd just feel them out.
I don't agree with you, George. Something ought to be done right away before it's too late.
Well, you can't do nothing till morning. You might just well give him to Lynn. He'll let us know what he's doing.
All right. I'm going to call a general meeting in the morning if he hasn't explained.
Over in the saloon.
I'm glad you see it our way, Martin. We'll cut you in for plenty when we get this job through. I figured you're so smart in this engineering business, you ought to know some way of gumming up this road project.
You're right, I do. If you'll give me enough men and dynamite, I'll fix that road so it'll never bother you again.
That's the way I like to hear you talk. And we'll get this whole valley at our own price. They think they'll never get this road through.
I'll go get the plan.
Wait a minute. Looks to me like a smart engineer like you would find plans a waste of time. Not that we don't trust you or nothing. We just don't want to rouse up suspicion.
Well, I guess you're right. We'll work without them. You get the boys together and we'll start right now.
Butch pours John a celebratory drink. The next morning, the sun rises over the rim of the canyon. John leaves the gang to its pick and shovel work and walks over to join Butch.
Are you sure this will block it all right?
Don't worry, when this blast goes off, your troubles will be all over. How much longer will it take?
Oh, about 2 more hours. Work faster now that it's daylight. Easy with that dynamite.
Meanwhile, Powell has called a meeting in front of the post office.
I'm afraid we've been sold out again by our leader. We have given Martin all night to show up, but he has failed us.
George shakes his head in disagreement.
Men, we've got to arm ourselves as best we can and meet these desperados and wipe them out once and for all. And now is the time to act.
A rider gallops up to the meeting.
Riders, we're up at the head of the road getting ready to set off a blast, and Martin is leading them.
This is our last chance. We've got to save the road or it means the end of this valley. Get every man in the valley. Arm yourselves and meet at the crossroads. It's only a drop over the hill into the pass. We'll be there in no time.
The crowd scatters. Running into his store, Powell begins handing out rifles to the townsfolk.
Oh, Uncle George. Here's the letter I found for you in the mailbag. It must have gotten stuck when I emptied them yesterday.
George peers at the letter.
Okay. Come on, boys, let's go.
Say, you read it, will you? I can't quite make it out.
The letter reads, Dear Mr. Hale, in accordance with your request for information concerning a petition for assistance in combating a gang which has been terrorizing Rainbow Valley, we wish to state that this petition has not been received by this office. We have, however, assigned John Martin as special investigator to carry on undercover work in connection with this gang. Should he identify himself to you at any time, you are to give him the utmost cooperation and place every facility at his command. I know we can count upon you for every assistance. Signed, Clayton I. Ward.
Writes from the governor. And he says that John Martin is a special agent investigating the activities of Butch Galt and his gang. And he says you're to help him all you can.
Seems like I was right about him. That's why I wrote the governor.
Why, Uncle George? He's up there with that gang now.
Say, we've got to stop that mob. Come on.
They rush over to Nellie. Meanwhile, the armed townsfolk race along the rim of the canyon. Back in town.
Uncle George, have you any gas?
Say, maybe that's trouble.
George checks the gas tank.
Dry as a bone.
George's eyes light on a wagon team.
Horses. That gives me an idea.
But Uncle George, I can't ride.
Well, who said anything about riding?
Out on the trail, the townsfolk pour down the canyon wall onto the floor below. Back in town, George climbs into Nellie's front seat beside Eleanor.
Well, here we go. Yes.
The wagon team hitched to Nellie pulls her out of town. As the townsfolk run along the canyon floor, George drives the team hard to intercept them. Foot of the pass, John and Butch string detonating wire from the dynamite charges. The crowd from town approaches the pass. As gang members continue setting the charges, John trims the detonating wire. Powell leads the crowd nearer to the blast site. A lookout spots them.
Hey! The whole town is turned out and they're heading this way!
Get out of there, boys, and hold them off.
The gang drops its tools and runs to fend off the townsfolk.
Is that thing ready to touch off?
Sure, but you can't set it off now. It's right on top of your own man.
Rogers, you go down and tell the boys to retreat up over the cliff and get that bunch under the blast. I'll touch it off in about 5 minutes, and we'll wipe them all out at once.
Okay, Chief.
As Butch leaves, John grabs Rogers and punches him on the jaw. The gang opens fire on the townsfolk. The townsfolk charge on, taking cover behind some downed trees and returning the gang's fire. Rogers takes a swing at John, who drops him with one punch. Ignoring the gunfire behind him, John scrambles up the canyon wall. swings up into the saddle and rides off. Above the canyon, Butch runs to the detonator and picks up the ends of the wires. John rides hard as Butch screws the wires to the terminals on the detonator. Just as Butch is ready to depress the plunger, John pulls him from the detonator and leaps on him. As Butch gets to his feet, John knocks him back down. As Butch and John grapple, John takes a couple of punches. Then he grabs Butch's wrist and flips him over his shoulder. Butch gets to his feet. John knocks Butch down again. As Butch and John wrestle with each other, the gang begins to fall back. Butch's men inch up the pass, returning the townsfolk's fire as they climb. Butch knocks John onto his back and dives at him, but John shoves him away with his feet. As John runs at him, Butch pushes the plunger on the detonator, blowing the dynamite charges in the pass.
Hold it, boys!
The townsfolk lower their weapons, waiting for the dust and smoke to clear.
You wiped out your own men, Gulp. Rogers never reached them. Now come on, get up. Get going.
John marches Butch away at gunpoint. Nellie and the wagon team finally carry George and Eleanor onto the scene. George takes the governor's letter from Eleanor and hurries to the canyon. Powell runs forward, gun in hand, to intercept John and Butch.
So, you decided to surrender when your men got caught in their own trap.
Trap? That's part of the road work.
Galt had all the dynamite, so I had to use him and his men to get the road through. We've been investigating this case for a long time. I went to prison to get the goods on Galt.
Why, you...
There you go. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This young fella...
You're a little late, George. The whole thing's cleared up and the road's through.
The road's through?
Well, look.
Later.
I didn't think 6 weeks ago we were going to see that.
The road runs through the notch in the pass that John tricked Butch into blasting for him.
Hey, John. Remember the battle we had up there? Eh?
George turns around to find John and Eleanor kissing in Nellie's back seat. The end. A Lone Star Picture. This described version of Rainbow Valley was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by Steve Thamer, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin.